League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the WTF1 podcast, That Time When edition. Now, today, I am joined by one of the most smooth-faced 33, nearly 34-year-old men you will ever see in the Formula One world. It is, of course, Tom Bellingham, the WTF1 founder, who also founded my heart.
Ah, very nice intro. Thank you.
we're
a lot more polite on this than when it's like Leclerc and Verstappen doing a title battle in the race ones, where we're just like, oh, for goodness sake.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've been very nice, but it's got nothing to do with our favourite drivers. Right, today we are talking about that time when Hamilton almost lapped the entire field. Now, for once, I can reflect on a race where I can say, I was there. Usually it's Tommy saying, oh, I was there in 1972, and oh, it was a great race. I, in fact, was there for the 2008 British Grand Prix, where Lewis Hamilton performed one of the best wet weather drives I think you can say in Formula One history. It's definitely up there. You can't class it as the best, because how do you do that? But it's one of, and we're going to be talking about it, reflecting on it. I remember this day very well, actually. It was very cold. I remember sat there on the, it would have been the old pit straight. So it would have been into Cops Corner was turn one.
Yeah.
So I was sat there in the grandstand with my dad, and I was shivering. I'm not even joking. Like I felt like I was freeze over.
Yeah, I mean, I can see here. This is the 6th of July in the UK, peak of summer, and it was 15 degrees centigrade.
Yeah, and raining.
Yeah.
And it was windy, of course.
Did you have a brolly? I hope you had a brolly.
No, I think I had some sort of terrible raincoat.
That'll be why you're freezing as well.
Yes, so it was very, very cold day. I remember that. And let's have a look now and reflect on what Formula One was like in 2008. And wow, it is a long time ago, because Kimi Raikkonen was the reigning champion. Good old Kimi, when he actually tried in Formula One, was the world champion. You had Heikki Kovalainen, who was Hamilton's teammate at McLaren. It was only Lewis Hamilton's second year in Formula One, after having that heartbreaking year in his debut, where he narrowly missed out on the championship. And then you had Alonso, who'd gone back to Renault. And Hamilton's form was actually being questioned after having two bad races. I mean, that just sounds like peak Lewis Hamilton media attention, doesn't it?
Yeah, the British press love to go in when things aren't great on drivers. But yeah, Hamilton had a good start to the year, and then two bad races, to say the least. So the Canadian Grand Prix, he was winning comfortably, and people will know about this, I'm sure, but everyone came into the pits. There was a red light on the pit entry, and he slammed into the back of Kimi Raikkonen, cost himself the victory. Really sort of embarrassing error. And it also gave him a 10-place grid drop penalty for the next race, which was France. So he started the race down in 13th, and also picked up a drive-through penalty in that race as well, because he cut one of the corners and finished down in 10th. So classic media, only as good as your last race. But if you have two bad races, you're absolutely washed and the worst driver in history. Hamilton was in a bit of a difficult stage of his career, under a lot of pressure, especially, I guess, as well, you can argue, even though it's early days in his career, it wasn't that long since losing that title as well, in such heartbreaking fashion.
Indeed. So let's take a look at qualifying then for the 2008 British Grand Prix. And cars actually ran their race fuel in qualifying. So we've actually done a video back on our YouTube channel quite a while ago, just taking a look at all the crazy different qualifying formats. And Formula One did like trying a few different methods of trying to spice up the action. So yes, they had to run their race fuel in qualifying, and that allowed Heikki Kovalainen to take pole position, with Lewis Hamilton only fourth behind Mark Webber and Kimi Raikkonen. But of course, with cars running their race fuel and with pit stops being a thing,
and refueling back then, you could underfuel.
So whoever got pole position didn't necessarily mean that was the fastest driver of the weekend or the driver that would necessarily win the race. Sometimes teams would underfuel just because they wanted to glory run or potentially hope for an early safety car and things like that. So Heikki Kovalainen took pole, as I say, but it probably wasn't very representative for Heikki to be quicker than Lewis. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, that's fair. He didn't. I don't think he got another pole all year and got only one win that was rather fortunate, to say the least, but that will be for another day, I'm sure.
Indeed. So let's take a look at the race start then, shall we? Hamilton, I remember it, sat there.
What corner were you at?
So sorry, I was on the starting grid.
So oh, lovely!
I wasn't 21st. The international pit stake grandstand, whatever they call it. So I saw the start. I was a little bit further down. I think I was about middle of the pack, but saw Lewis Hamilton absolutely fly off the line, and he almost took the lead. Webber. Oh yeah, I'm now remembering how crazy this race was because the Ferraris were the worst. They did not know how to stay on the track.
No.
But before that, Mark Webber spun on the hanger straight and dropped to last, which was a very sketchy incident, as far as I remember.
Yeah, he was facing backwards. It was
scary.
It was really, really, really wet, and obviously visibility is really poor. And he was, as we mentioned, he was right at the front of the grid. Hamilton got an unbelievable start, like you said, and almost took the lead from fourth. It was such a good slingshot, but Kovalainen,
very much a very short run down towards
it's a short run down, yeah, exactly. And Kovalainen was able to sweep round the outside of Kops, very close actually to colliding these two at that point. But Webber was up there in the top four, spun, and then obviously the whole grid are flying past. He's rolling backwards. Just hoping that no one hits him. Quite the sketchy moment. Massa as well, that started one of many spins and did the same thing. So Webber dropped right to the back, and then Massa was like, no, I want to be last, and spun at the new first corner. I'm sure a lot of people know this, but if you're new to Formula One, it's not always been that way. So the new first corner at Silverstone on that new start finish straight, they used to go into a left right quite quick chicane and under a bridge and a corner called Bridge, which was a fantastic corner, like really, really quick, awesome corner. And Massa spun there and had an equally sketchy moment where he's going backwards, rolling past, and looked very scary.
Yes, it certainly was. I don't know what was wrong with the Ferraris that particular day. Maybe they had dry tyres that looked like wet tyres, but I'm really not sure. It was a crazy start to the race, for sure. We then had on lap five, Hamilton passing teammate Kovalainen into Stowe Corner. It didn't look like Heikki made it particularly difficult for him. Hamilton just lunged up the inside and was like, thank you very much, I will be taking that. And then it was pretty much game over after Kovalainen and then spun and dropped behind Kimi Raikkonen.
Yeah, so our last that time when podcast was about Jenson Button and his Canadian Grand Prix and him flip-flopping throughout the grid. Spoiler alert, that doesn't happen in this because Hamilton just see you later, everyone, I'm off. Once Hamilton gets past Kovalainen, Kimi keeps him honest at the start of the race, but Kovalainen spins, drop behind Raikkonen, and then we get into the pit stops.
Was it before the pit stops that we had one of the strangest spins. I think it was a Toro Rosso fighting.
Oh no, that's later in the race where he spins in front of him.
Yeah, I think that was later. So we had the first stops. So Hamilton pitted for new Inters, and then Ferrari gambled and left Kimi Raikkonen on the same tyres. The rain then returned, and of course, you know, if you're on wearing intermediate tyres, they don't clear as much water. So then Hamilton had an enormous advantage over Kimi Raikkonen, who, as I say, Ferrari had left out on track.
Yeah. Not like Ferrari to bottle strategy, is it? they did the classic slicked immediates tactic with Kimi, and it didn't work because obviously they came in, refueled, Hamilton changed tyres, and then because it rained again, he was looking great because he had nice tread in his tyres, and Kimi Raikkonen just had an absolute mare and was dropping back 5 seconds a lap, pretty much, and just...
Actually, the spin happened on lap 12, Tommy. I'll have you know, the one that I'm talking about. The Toro Rosso, and I can't even remember, I can't for the life of me remember the name of this team with Kingfisher branding on the
Force
on the
India.
Rear wing. Was it Force India then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I must have missed that from the sheet. Sorry.
Yeah, lap 12.
Was
a crazy old spin, just literally on the straights. There was big puddles of standing water. So very treacherous for the drivers, but no worries.
It was always in that same part as well, wasn't it? There must have been a massive puddle at Bridge just before like the what is now the new pit straight, if you like. Spun off. A lot of people had incidents there.
So next up, we had Nick Heidfeld doing Nick Heidfeld things of not winning a race, but looking really good. And he did an awesome, awesome move just before, well, I guess it would be the final corner of this old layout for P2, which was on Fernando Alonso and who was it on?
He did a double move. He did two double moves. So his first double move was Trulli and Alonso, I want to say. And then he did another double move later on Kovalainen and Kimi to get into second. And yeah, I think we mentioned it a few times because, well, by the time this goes out, maybe science has got its record. We don't know, but we will not know. But Heidfeld, as time of recording, a lot of P2s. The most, right? The most P2s without a win?
The most podiums.
Most podiums?
He's got 13 podiums without a win. Carlos Sainz currently on 11 as of recording. He then passed. He did a double move on a Ferrari and, Kovalainen to take P2. So, yeah, he absolutely loved a double move into that final corner. It was unbelievable scenes from Heidfeld. But unfortunately, Hamilton was 3 days clear. So he had no chance of winning. But, yeah, so the rain started getting worse. Piquet Jr. spun, was out of the race. And also, beached it. GGs, take care. And then also Felipe Massa, Lewis Hamilton, Kimi Raikkonen and Robert Kubica all have spins. So even Hamilton was not completely faultless during this race because the weather just kept wanting to change and just provide that extra element of action.
Yeah, I can't believe it wasn't red flagged at this point because it's absolutely chucking it down. There's obviously a big puddle or at least, you know, like a safety car or something. But there was a big puddle clearly in, and it was just a lot of standing water that was catching everyone out because no one was on intermediates. Sorry, everyone was on intermediates at this point. No one had gone for the full wets yet. And it was catching so many people out. And some people were spinning and survived. But Kubica actually did a PK later on and spun himself and went into that gravel trap and was out.
Yeah, you're not wrong, but it was incredibly wet. And when we say that Hamilton had a spin, I mean, he spun from being about a minute clear.
Yeah, like 30 seconds, I think he had a gap on Heidfeld at this point, and he just like a pirouette and just carried on.
I love the So was it Raikkonen that went for an absolute spin McGee?
It just
felt like this track, when it was older, there was less sort of barriers around, and they could literally just spin, but then like end up somewhere near the track again. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like they'd just go off for a spin and then, oh, I'm back on the track again.
Yeah, he just spun off out of bridge. And then there was just the way the old final sector kind of happened, rather than the Wellington straight, you kind of looped round. And yeah, he just went on that grass and just eventually found his way back onto the track, because there was just so much like, not, it wasn't even runoff, it was just grass, just like a huge grass area around there. And yeah, the Ferraris loved a spin in this race.
Yeah, they spun so many times. It was ridiculous. So yeah, then the second pit stops came around. Hamilton and Heidfeld pit for Inters. Hamilton already had a huge lead, so he didn't really have to worry. He could go and have a cup of tea if he wanted to. And then Barrichello pit with 20 laps to go for four wets, and he was flying.
Yeah.
We were thinking, if Barrichello wasn't so far behind Hamilton, you know, what could he do here?
He, like, when we say flying, like, it was insane how much quicker he was. So I don't know why, but no one else decided to gamble on the full wets, but Barrichello did. And it must have just been a case of, you know, classic Formula One, where they're all looking at their radars going, no, it won't get worse, it's going to dry up. Barrichello was lapping 9 seconds quicker than everyone. And he went from, I can't find the position he was in when he pitted, but it was the Honda. So he wasn't really in the race. For example, he did qualify 16th. So he's not a front runner. So he's probably, you know, mid pack at this point, tail end of the field. And he was so much quicker than everyone that he just flew through the field and almost completely unnoticed built a 20-second lead on Heidfeld in second place, which is just absolutely crazy. This is the point where I cannot believe this race wasn't red flagged, because my days, it was absolutely treacherous. But Barrichello was just loving life. I wonder if that was another reason why people didn't pit for the full wets, because they're like, this will probably get red flagged here, or safety car or something, and there's no point risking a pit stop. But yeah, Barrichello was just flying through the field. And it's really unfortunate, actually, because he would have had an easy P2 in this race. But when the track dried out later and he went back onto the Inters, he had a problem in the pits, which cost him a place and cost him quite a bit of time. But he could have easily been second by quite a comfortable margin with this unbelievable gamble that I cannot believe no one else tried. Yeah.
Very strange. So in the midst of all this, Massa had a couple more spins.
Yeah.
just loving life at the back of the field, just not being able to keep the car facing the right direction. And yeah, that was pretty much it. Hamilton came over the line to win by a massive 68 seconds. He lapped everyone up to Kimi Raikkonen in fourth. And it turned out to be the biggest winning margin since the 1995 Australian Grand Prix. And the title battle at this point looked pretty spicy, didn't it, Tommy?
It did, yeah. The 1995 Australian Grand Prix, we won't gloss over that, because Damon Hill was the guy that won. he won by two laps. He won by two laps of Palace. I think everyone just retired in that race. It was absolutely crazy. It was the last race at Adelaide, the old Adelaide street circuit. Just before we go on to the title, Massa spun near the end of the race, and it was his fifth spin. Massa actually finished 13th, two laps down, and spun five times. And this is the days before Twitter, but imagine the memes that Massa would have gone through, spinning five times in a race, especially being in
B. He would have had that red B, the spin.
Yeah, he would have been the spinyala before Vettel. But yes, the title was looking tasty, to say the least, an understatement. After the standings after the race were Lewis Hamilton in first on 48 points, Felipe Massa in second on 48 points, Raikkonen in third on 48 points, and Kubica in fourth on 46 points. So you had 2 points separated.
Bearing in mind, this was 10 for a win.
10 for a win.
Just remind people of that.
Yeah,
as well.
But still crazy. I mean, what's
ridiculous.
What's the title? And yeah, Kubica was very much in the title fight. Which
until they were like, nah, let's not. We don't want the title this year. We'll develop for next year.
How did that go? And that went very well.
Terribly. Absolutely terribly. So yeah, there you go, everybody. That is that time when Hamilton almost lapped the entire field. Was that Hamilton's best ever drive? Difficult to measure, but it's definitely one that stuck in the mind, especially having only joined F1 the year before. It was a massive statement for that year, I would say, as well. For, you know, he wanted to win that championship. He wanted to silence the critics, to win at your home race. I'm sure there was so much motivation and fuel that came from winning in such a style.
Yeah. And the previous two races, which we mentioned before, where the press were on his back a little bit, and then he's like, I'm going to win by over a minute and lap my title rival. Well, one of them once and one of them twice. it was an unbelievable drive. It's definitely up there. And I think it shows what a great driver Lewis Hamilton is, that a drive like that, you can pick others and it's not even guaranteed for it to be his best drive. It's definitely up there. It's hard to... He's had so many great drives. I mean, the greats in the sport, Schumi is another one that I feel like has this, where you can't pick one race because he has had so many of these amazing drives. And I feel like Hamilton's the same, where you could put, he's probably done about 10 races that would be any other driver's best win. It's crazy. So yeah, unbelievable drive, but to do it so early in his career as well, unbelievable. What a drive.
It's pretty good, this Lewis Hamilton. It'll be interesting to see how the rest of his career goes.
Yeah, wonder
how it'll go. All right, well, there you go, everybody. Thank you for listening in to this That Time When. It's been a pleasure to bring it to you. Thank you to Tommy, the WTF1 founder, for all of his insights and boomer references and everything else. Hashtag WTF1 podcast if you want to get involved and suggest any other That Time When topics that you'd like us to cover. Please do give us a 5-star rating and a thumbs up or a lovely bit of feedback. We do read them all and make sure that you're lovely and nice with everything that you say. And if you're still here at this point, you've probably had a great time. So let us know in the feedback. Okay, I'm going to stop talking. Thank you, everybody. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Don't know why I'm waving. It's audio.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.